talk to someone who knows what they're doing. Next up, you're going to be hearing from John Schooling, MD at Stag African. What they all about? Well, it's about students, it's about accommodation, but he'll tell you more about that next.
Today with Kino Cummies, only on Cape Talk.
Now, for those who are living on campus, right, having success or at least access to Wi-Fi and study groups will certainly put them on a much better footing to prepare for their exams. Because you need the Wi-Fi, right? Research. University is about that. And you can't research getting an encyclopedia. It doesn't work like that anymore. You also need to be able to sit together with people to, you know, combine your efforts. I mean, if you do an EMBA, for example, you work in groups. So best that all of you, you know, are close to each other to be able to have those meetings. But because student accommodation at university residences are in such a short supply, many people struggle. So much so that academically they actually have to maybe spend an extra year at a university, you know, as a result of not being able to be part of that particular mix. So how does one actually deal with this? Well, John Schooling, co-founder of student accommodation group Stag African, joins you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kino. It's great to be here.
So just tell us a little bit about your business. Why do you exist? What's your purpose?
We're property developers, and around about 2008, we discovered that the student accommodation market was completely untapped. At that stage, our research showed that there was about 100 to 200,000 beds short across the country. The research by the Department of Education and Training found that it was actually probably closer to 300,000 beds. Jeez. And probably maybe it's increased a little bit to 400,000 now. So a point you brought up that, Kino, was very, very important. You said being in close proximity, not only to the university, but also to fellow students, is a critically important component of learning.
Yeah.
And that idea of community is quite interesting. It's known as the hidden context of learning.
Right.
What that means is that you learn an incredible amount from your fellow students. Mm-hmm. In actual fact, they reckon that 60% of all learning at any university or tertiary institution happens outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
So being in on good on-campus accommodation, just as you intimated, is critically important to helping students succeed.
Well, being on or close to, so if I'm a 5-minute walk away, or I can, you know, I mean, even thinking about Uber gets very expensive, and liquidity is not something that a lot of these young people have. So how does your business then come in and try and deal with that massive problem? Because it is a massive problem. If you're talking about, 300,000 countrywide, those are 300,000 people that are put at a disadvantage.
Absolutely. And those 300,000 people are critically important to our country.
Yeah.
Student success is directly related to a country's success.
Yeah.
For example, Africa, 5% of our people have some form of tertiary education,
right,
versus in the United States of America, 35%. Even Russia's way up at 20 to 30%, which I was quite surprised about. But there's a direct correlation between a country's well-being, its people's wealth, even the emotional and social happiness. There's a direct correlation between that and education. So the 300,000 people that you're talking about are critically important to our society and to our country and to the whole continent of Africa.
So let's talk about the accommodation that Stag then provides. Last time I dealt with this issue, there's not a lot of property anywhere close to the universities, especially University of Cape Town, and people struggle to even get land from the university itself to help deal with this. So let's talk about your solution.
Well, our particular area of interest are the people who can't afford student accommodation. So when we talk about the crisis in student accommodation, we're really talking about a crisis of affordability. And as you say, a shortfall of land makes the land very expensive and makes it impossible for the majority of our students to get there. So we're not really interested in helping the top end of the market. That's been catered for very adequately by a lot of other very good companies. What we're trying to help, what we're trying to do, is focus on the large, broad brush student who really can't afford it. And many of the 300,000 students who are not in accommodation at the moment rely on NSFAS granting.
Yes.
And NSFAS granting supplies sufficient money it doesn't quite cover it. It actually covers only 50% of the true cost of providing and operating a greenfield project, which means from a new build. So the amount of money that we have available can overcover and carry 50% of the cost. Somehow or other, we have to find the other 50% in the form of a grant. Now, the Department of Higher Education and Training have access plus minus $4 billion a year that they're contributing to try and solve the problem. With that, they can leverage another $4 billion from the likes of DBSA, which they did very successfully at our development at the University of Fort Hare, which incidentally is deemed to be the largest infrastructure development in student accommodation ever by the 26 major universities in the country. That was a collaboration between the university, DBSA, the Department of Higher Education and Training, i.e. our government, and the European Union. That gave us a little bit of money. But we still need 50% of the funds to actually make it a reality. If you can't access that 50%, and unfortunately the $4 billion, taking that into account, it means that it's going to take us 17 and a half years to satisfy the current shortfall. So there's got to be another mechanism, and we believe that that mechanism does exist, and it's through careful collaboration between the three role players as well as the private sector. I think the private sector holds the keys to the solution in conjunction and in collaboration with the government.
So when we talk about affordability, right, so you make this accommodation available, to what factor is it affordable? So and how close to the university would this development actually be if you do it? Let's just take UCT, for example, right? Have you done developments close to UCT?
We've worked and tended on a few developments on campus, but we haven't actually built them. And the reason why we haven't built them is because it's not affordable for our market.
Yeah.
You know, when you're paying between 8,000 and 12,000 rand a month for accommodation, that's just simply unaffordable to the majority of our market. And the area that we want to focus on and where we want to come up with a solution is the bottom of the triangle where the majority of our students lie. Off-campus accommodation, most of the time, good off-campus accommodation is simply not affordable to the majority.
What about alternative proximity? What about proximity, though? Because for me, it's if you're telling me good off-campus accommodation to people who can't afford your 8K a month, 9K a month, right, can you create that type of accommodation close to a campus, though?
I believe we can, but it needs for the different arms of government to work together. So, for example, cities own a lot of land that's unused or underutilized.
Right.
Parastatals, government, state-owned organizations own a lot of land close to campuses that is lying particularly probably dormant. If we could access that land through a collaboration between the different departments, if government in totality stopped working in silos and started talking and communicating with each other, then we've got a very good chance of unlocking this opportunity. Our students, the part that we're aiming at, can't afford basic accommodation. In order to overcome that problem, we've got to access land that is very, very affordable, or even land that is leased at very, very low cost to not only the private sector but also the university. That's where the solution lies.
So if you look at people like Signature Lux Hotels by Onomo, for example, they don't do greenfield builds, generally speaking. What they do is they know what a hotel needs to look like. They look at the dynamics of a building. They put in a cheeky offer. Especially this day and age, it's easier to sneak in a cheeky offer because the market is depressed. Is that not another way of doing it, where you basically take the shell that you need, you then break down whatever needs to be broken down internally, and then rebuild that? Because I'm told by their MD that that's a more cost-effective way of actually doing a particular build.
It is. That is the only alternative. But the majority of our universities in South Africa are based in rural areas, or large number of them based in rural areas, where that opportunity simply doesn't exist.
Okay.
And even in the situation in Cape Town, for example, those buildings, although you can get them at a very good price, they're still very, very expensive, and the conversion factor is very high. What people often forget, though, is that these student accommodation need to be operated, and that includes all the costs that are not related directly to the building.
Okay.
And that is, we've calculated, is between 9,000 and 14,000, depending on your rates and taxes and insurance and so on. And that big chunk comes off your NSFAS grant already. So you're sitting at 21,000 rand available to then pay off the capital costs, the borrowings to actually build it. So it becomes very, very difficult.
interesting indeed. John Schooling, the MD at Stag, and they're trying to and are finding solutions when it comes to the bottom of the pyramid. That's where most people are. Top of the pyramids when mommy and daddy can afford to pay your accommodation, which costs you $10K a month. But how does one do that in close proximity at an affordable rate? Rather interesting indeed. We'll continue the discussion with John next. Your time now, it is 5 to 11. You're listening to Today. I am Kino Cummings with you all the way through until midday. You're joined by John Schooling, the MD at Stag Africa. And the bottom line with this business is that their core purpose is to make affordable student accommodation available to the bottom of the pyramid. People who can't afford 9,000-10,000 rand a month for accommodation. But for me, when on the one hand we're saying, well, you need to be in close proximity to your classmates and the campus, that's important. If one looks at a place like UCT, for example, or even Stellenbosch University, it almost doesn't make sense to say I'm going to get something close by for poorer people. And it has to be a greenfields build. So, John, once again, thanks for popping through. So I would then imagine, if one just looks at the brick supply chain, a lot of people, one MEC told me it's like the mafia running the brick supply chain. It's a very, very expensive one. So things like alternative building methods when it comes to putting it up surely should be on your radar as well if you're not already using it.
That's correct. We'd like to think, Kino, that we've pioneered an affordable green alternative to world-class student accommodation. So when you look at affordability, we looked at it quite some time ago, and we came to the conclusion, as everyone knows, that if you keep on doing the same thing, looking for a different result, that's madness. It's not going to happen. So we started looking at how do we actually make this product affordable. The specification for student accommodation is much higher than a normal build. You've got things, for example, as you mentioned earlier, your Wi-Fi, critically important.
Yes.
The other things like smoke and heat detection, which is essential, access control, and all that, all those additional specs actually makes it very, very expensive. Then you've got to furnish it. You've got to furnish it in such a way that the furniture is durable. So building student accommodation is more expensive than building a affordable house, for example. So the way that we adopted it, we adopted three perspectives on it. We said, how do you get affordability? And we achieve affordability through optimal architectural design.
Right.
Now, what do we mean by that? Well, you've got to understand exactly what you're designing. The
yes.
first counter to expensive building is cost-effective design. So your design is the first cost component. If you get, you can't build a building cost-effectively if your design is very expensive. So we can tell you that the gross area per bed in our student accommodation is 13.85 square meters. Now, I use the word 0.85 on purpose as not 14.85, because every inch, every square meter that you waste translates into many billions over the total 300,000 beds that we're trying to solve. So that's one of the things. So optimal architectural design, we've been able to come up with what we believe is a pod system that is perfectly designed. It's absolutely cost effective in terms of area. It's still very attractive. It's still world class, but it's very effective and functional. The second area that we look at is innovative building technology. And we've explored innovative building technology across the entire world. We've used container technology. We've used lightweight steel framing. We use the polymer system, which is a combination of fly ash and polymer. And then finally, we're starting to look at various now forms of a molded concrete, as you mentioned earlier to me.
Yep.
And then in addition to that, we actually now starting to explore 3D printing of buildings. That gives us now the interesting thing about all those technologies, that all of them are inherently green. Our residence at Stellenbosch that we recently built, we managed to get the EDGE rating, which is the IFC, the International Finance Corporation's green rating tool, and it passed that. So we reckon for one brief moment in time, we built probably the greenest residence in Africa.
Yes.
So those are the components. It's great that it's innovative, it's different, it's cost effective, it's time effective, and also, as I mentioned earlier, it's very, very green. Then the third component of cost is access to humanitarian funding. And we are accessing humanitarian funding from the United States of America and from the European Union and even inside South Africa itself. So those three work together to reduce the overall cost of construction.
So a lot of that would be grant funding. So you don't have an issue of, you know, accounts payable on your books, for example. Okay. Fascinating. How do people get involved? I mean, there's the 12J structures that are available out there. If corporates have CSI funding or funding that they might want to put in, and they're in Cape Town, how do they get hold of you?
They can contact us through info@stagafrican.com or to myself directly, John S. @stagafrican with the N at the end,
yeah.
.com.
Well, John, I want to thank you very much for popping through today.
Kino, thank
you very
much.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's, you know, we never think of that. We think of bulls and we think about, and we don't think about, because sometimes it's been a long time since people have been on campus and things have changed and the demand has certainly grown. It's interesting to see that there are businesses like you around, like yours around it. If you forgot any of the details that they gave us, call the team. We'll happily put you in touch.